Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Right, I'd like us to spend some time talking about peace and what it means, and leading us into praying more for ourselves as we read this passage. I will bring to us this morning what I've titled, How to Embrace God's Peace. How to Embrace God's Peace. You know, peace is a very popular word today, and people look at peace in different ways. One everyday use for peace is that peace represents the absence of war or conflict. For example, what is happening in the Middle East now, when there is the signing of a peace treaty, and when quarreling friends, for example, make up and are peace with each other. So people could look at peace as the absence of war. Even though peace isn't the absence of war, but there are some references in the scripture. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, when he says this, the towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. But true peace is not the absence of trouble. Also, peace could be referred to as rest. And Merriam-Webster dictionary defines peace as, and I quote, a state of tranquility or quiet. And also, the Oxford dictionary defines peace as the state of being calm or quiet. So, when we describe peace in that way, we could say that people are at rest with one another, or that there is no more any war. But looking deeper into the Bible, peace is a kind of total well-being and completeness to someone who is in Christ. And it points to something different, something else, because peace is a fruit of the Spirit. How did Jesus describe peace? And Judy had brought this passage to us, John 14, verse 12. So Jesus, talking about peace, is talking about the calmness that we have in spite of our troubles. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So I will say that peace is knowing that the Lord of the universe is by my side, and I am resting on that. And I'm putting my faith and my trust on that. And not only that, helping me to live out that knowing. So sitting in a place of comfort, and God is here with me no matter what. And that is the biblical peace that we are bringing to us today. Completeness, wholeness, and is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, like we've been studying, says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." And the peace that Jesus brings to us should be both vertical and also horizontal. All right? We should have peace with God. We should also have peace with people. And above all, we should have peace within ourselves. And to me, that is the most important one, to have peace in here. Peace with God, peace with others, and peace with myself. You know, Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." When we have peace with God, that will reflect on how we carry ourselves every day. In Colossians 1:19-20, the apostle says this, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." So Jesus is the one that makes peace between us and God the Father. And when we have peace with God, that should feed into how we respond to people, how we relate with people. Because if we claim that we have peace with God and we are at loggerheads with every other person, that's not a true reflection of the peace that we have received from God. In Ephesians chapter 4, 1-6, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with some long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So when I have peace with God, I should walk towards keeping the bond of peace with one another. And in fact, how this is lived out will determine how people will receive whatever thing we share with them. There was a day I was traveling on the bus a long time ago, not in this country, in another country, where you had to travel maybe for a long distance, 12 hours or so, on the bus with others. And it was sort of customary for us to share the gospel when we enter such, you know, when we are committing with others. And on that occasion, before we shared the word, there was someone who was not happy with what someone was doing. I can't remember exactly what happened, but they picked offense with the person, and they were sort of exchanging words with them. And 10 or 20 minutes after then, this particular individual decided to share the gospel. Immediately he opened his mouth to say, "Well, let us pray," and everyone descended on him. They were like, "What? You are the one offended with what this person is saying, and how can we put the thing together?" they didn't receive what he wanted to share, what he wanted to say. And I felt very bad on that occasion. I felt if he had dealt with that situation differently, whatever he had to bring would have been received differently. You know, there are some people, they are, what they will read, and you know this, of course, is the life that we live and how we react to them, how we relate with them will be the Bible, the scripture that they will read. And so the peace that we receive from God should reflect on how we treat people. And also, like I said, the most important thing will be to have peace in here, because the most powerful thing will be for me to make sure that I'm at peace with myself. I like this passage, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. Reading from the New King James. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace. When our mind is stayed on God, we'll be at peace with ourselves, and it will reflect on others. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Like I said to us, I think two weeks ago or so, you have to take care of yourself before you even think of taking care of other people. And when you are at peace with yourself, then you will be able to live a peaceable life with other people. I'd like to bring us how peace is described in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. What peace is in the Hebrew and also in Greek, like I've put it there. Well, you might not need to know this, but I have discovered through my study that the word peace means shalom in the Old Testament in Hebrew. And it appears 237 times in the Old Testament. And the highest appearance is in Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah alone, the word shalom appears 30 times. And the first time that the word shalom appeared was when the Lord was addressing Abram in Genesis 15, verse 15. He says, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at an old age." So shalom, peace, it means completeness, soundness, and welfare. And people in the Old Testament usually use this as a way of greeting one another. And also Jesus himself used this as a way of greeting. In John chapter 20, verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled, of course, when they were in fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be with you.'" Jesus blessed them with peace. And also in the New Testament, peace has come from the Greek word eirene. And eirene appears 92 times in the New Testament, except in the book of 1 John. In all the books of the New Testament, you will see mention eirene, peace, except in 1 John. And it means quietness, it means rest, it means one. And this means unity with myself and with the Lord. In John chapter 10, verse 13, is the first time that this word eirene is mentioned. And John 10, verse 13 says, "If the household is worthy," like when Jesus sent them out to go preach, "let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you." And also remember in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, when they were in the boat and there was turmoil and trouble, Jesus rose up and said what? Peace, be still. And that same word is used there. And it means silence. Peace, be still. In all our troubles, in all our things and cares of life, what we need is the presence of Jesus Christ to bring peace in our hearts. I'd like us to end with that passage that we read this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let me say, as long as we are alive, there is no end to troubles. There will not be any end to all the cares, all the things that we experience in life. But what we need to do is to make up our minds to rejoice in the Lord. Make up your mind and choose to rejoice. Choose to let the peace of God be in you. And so, how do I work to make sure I embrace peace? And I'll propose to us, choose to rejoice in God and who He is. Things will come to us. We'll have things thrown at us. I think it was Martin Luther who said, I might not prevent a bird from flying across my head. What I would do, I wouldn't let them build a nest on my head. Was it Martin Luther that said that? Spurgeon. But when I read that, I thought about that. No matter who we are and how holy we are, there will be thoughts going through our minds. All right? Sometimes, from what we hear, the news we listen to after the day, you see yourself, thinking about, various things. You are still human. But from that comment, I've made up my mind. I wouldn't allow all those not so good thoughts to build their nest in here. All right? So he says, I might not prevent a bird from flying across, but building a nest here, That's not possible. It's up to me. I have to choose to rejoice. At the end of the day, at the end of everything, I just ponder upon what has happened and I choose to sift everything through and receive the good ones and let the other ones not bother me. Because as long as we're on earth, there will be chaos every day. There will be troubles every day. There will be things, news, there will be things that are not pleasant. Let's just make the choice to be in joy. All right? And secondly, from verse 6, he says to bring all our worries and fears and concerns to God in prayer. All right? That's the weapon we have to come to God in prayer. It is our lot to pray, and it's up to Him to answer us. And remember, He answers us in different ways. But what do I do? Bring all my worries to Him. Bring all my fears to Him and pray about them. I used to live in a place that we prayed for literally everything. We had to pray for the energy. We prayed for water to come out of the tap. Yes. We had to pray for everything. And when you live in such places, you build your prayer life. You'll be more prayerful. Right? I'm not saying we are not. But when you live in a place, you have to pray for everything. I remember telling us a little story the other day. I had to wait for hours in the bus stop for bus to come. But none came on that day. I had to weep. And God told me on that day that I am with you. I know I have called you for where I have called you. So whatever we go through, bring them to God in prayer. About our children, bring them to God in prayer. About our grandchildren, our nieces, about things worrying us, the best we can do is to bring them to God in prayer. And when we do, we believe that He will answer us and get prepared to receive whatever answer He gives us. Praise God. Because sometimes we want Him to answer the way we want it, but it's up to Him to answer. And also, we have to fill our minds with the truths of God continually. Let's not allow all those negative things to dwell 1 minute in us. Let's replace them with the truth of God's word. What does God say I am? I am what He says I am. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the apple of His eyes. Whatever happens to me, let me fill my mind with the word of God. And finally, whatever that is true, think on these things. Let me read verse 8 and verse 9 as we close again. Finally, brethren, brothers and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Learn to dwell on truthful things. Learn to dwell on things that are positive. There are negative things out there. On the news, from people around, from what we read, there are negative things out there. Learn to not to dwell on those things, but to dwell on things positive. And sometimes we all have this side and that side. When I choose to dwell on only on your negative sides, it might affect my relationship with you. But sometimes just take some time to think about the positives of that person, and then your love for that person will grow. So whatever things that are just, whatever things that are pure, whatever things are lovely, think on these things. Years ago, I made up my mind, I will not hang around anyone that brings only negative reports about people, because before long, they will also carry negative things about me to other people. I made up my mind not to dwell on people who complain about everything. Yes, that's my personal choice. People who complain, each time you meet them, all they bring is negatives. All they bring is what this person has said. All they bring is, oh, da, 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 da. I tune off. I easily tune off. I might be there, right? Looking at them. But I'm tuned off. I like to dwell on positive things. All right? I like to go where people bring positive news, you know, things that will challenge me to be more on fire for Christ. And I like to hang around with people that after hanging around with them, I'll go home and say, oh, Lord, I want to know you more. Oh, Lord, I want to grow in you. Not after hanging out with them, I'll go on with hatred in me. I'll go on with sadness in me. I try to avoid such people and such places, such circumstances, such meetings and things. But I try. It's hard work, I must say. Don't think that, yeah, I get it right all the time. No, it's hard work. But I make up my mind to always try, to always try to do this, and that the peace of God will be in me. Let's spend some time praying, asking God to flood our minds with the peace of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we go on ahead, O Lord, for the rest of the meeting today and for the rest of the day, We pray that you will help us to dwell on positive things, and that the peace of the Lord will always rule in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to remove all those negative things that impact on our peace, but to dwell on positive things. Father, we thank you that we have made peace with you through the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. And as we grow in you, Lord, help us to live in peace with other people and to live in peace with ourselves. Help us to always take care of ourselves, to feed ourselves with positive things, and that we will grow in you and knowing you more. At this time, Lord, we pray for those who are going through things in their minds. There are people who are experiencing some battles and some things in their minds and in their mental health. We ask, Lord, that your peace, the peace of Christ, will dwell in the hearts and the minds of these people. Whatever that is contending with the peace in our minds, we pray that the blood of Jesus Christ will deal with them now. And I speak the name of Jesus over every fear. I speak the name of Jesus over every anxiety. And I speak the name of Jesus over our family members. The name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue will confess. We thank you, Lord, for we receive your word, and let it be unto us according to your word, to the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.